for listening to the BeyondCast, the official podcast of Beyond Student Ministries. Located in Seattle, Washington, we're all about faith, mission, and reality.
Great picture, because we all been tempted. We've all had some kind of pressure that's been put on our lives. And you're not alone. You know, one of the things that people tell me is like, man, my parents don't understand. It's different for me than it was for them. Have you guys ever thought that about your parents? I did, like, every couple hours. My parents don't understand. And then I play Will Smith and I'm like, you get it. But really, this verse is saying, no temptation has seized you beyond what is common. So your parents have all faced the same stuff. We've all faced the same stuff, maybe in different ways and at different degrees, but we all face it. And so you're not like in this alone, you're in this together. What's going on? You need a pen. Here you go. All right. I'm a ninja, I've always got pens. But not anymore, so don't ask. I don't have on me. Sorry. It's a G2, man. Ah! I don't need one. I'm trying to kill you.
I thought you were a ninja.
Anyway, so we all face pressure. Wow, that was an awesome tangent. That's the way to say it. Alright. Yeah, I'm going to edit it for our friends in China. They don't know what I'm talking about. No, people's. Anyway. I'll just keep going. Thank you, Jordan. Keeping us on track. Next time, just throw something at me. Like, preferably. I'm not sure.
Like a pen?
So we all face pressure, and really, the temptation that is great because God always provides a way out. You know, in all of your stuff, there's always a way out. So you go to a party, and people are like drinking and doing stuff, and you're like, man, I wish I could get out. There is a way out. You don't have to do that thing. You don't have to do what your friends are doing. You call somebody, you get out, just leave. There's always a way out of any temptation. So you say you're thinking about something, you're going to do it, like, yeah, I should do that. But you know it's a sin, you can stop. You have that ability to stop. There's always, always, always a way out. So when people say, like, I don't know what happened, it's just to happen. No, it's you let it happen. You were underneath this pressure and you just said, whatever. You let it happen. But there's always a way out. And how we respond to temptation comes from within us. So let's look at James. I think it's read James. James is one of the best books in the whole New Testament. It's one of my favorites.
There we go.
Second to what? Second to Lamentations. That book is great. Ruin, despair. We're looking at in chapter 1, verse 13. The temptation that we come across, how we respond, it's from inside of us. And so if you're struggling with something, it's not everything out there, it's what's in here. So let's look at verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Temptation comes from inside of us. I mean, the result of our temptation and how we handle it is really our own decision. It comes from inside of it. So, if you go to a party. I don't know why I just keep going back to a party. And say you want to drink. Everybody's getting drunk, so hey, let's get drunk. That temptation, how you respond, is inside of you. So if your desire to be accepted is higher than your desire to be accepted by God, then you're going to go for this. And so my hope is that your desire would change from trying to be accepted by all these people who really don't care about you as much as God cares about you, so that your desire to please Him would be higher. Does that make sense? You tracking with me? Picking up what I'm putting down? Make sure for the thumbs up. That's helpful. There's a lot of cool pictures in the Bible about temptation. You know how Jesus, in Corinthians, it says that God always provides a way out? Chapter 12 of Hebrews, no, verse, chapter 2, sorry. It's 2 to 1 is on the screen. Chapter 2 of Hebrews. We're jumping all over the place. I told you we've been jumping all over the place. So turn to chapter 2 of Hebrews. Go! Do it! Fast! 2:18. Was intense. 2:18, talking about Jesus, talking about the way out. Christ endured temptation to provide us a way out. So let's look at 2:18. It'll say, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. If you guys, remember a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning, we went through the book of Matthew, and we talked about the temptation of Christ. Remember that? And in the Gospels, it records three things that Jesus was tempted by. But in reality, he was tempted all his life. He was tempted every day to sin. And he didn't. And so because he lived a perfect, sinless life, he's provided us a way out of temptation. Let's look at one more verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It's in here somewhere. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet is without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's a great, great passage of scripture. I did, in my senior year, I took a class on Hebrews. I wrote 10 pages on those verses. It's deep, it's so heavy, and like, it was insane. And so every time I come across these verses, it's just my Bible reading, I'm reminded that he really did bear all of our temptation. Everything that we face, Christ faced. So if you deal with lust, if you deal with jealousy, if you deal with greed, if you deal with anything, desire to be accepted, peer pressure, Jesus faced it. Jesus, let's talk about Jesus for a second. How many of you guys have ever been like tempted by the devil? Nobody, actually, probably. Because you're small potatoes. I'll just be honest. The devil, I mean, if you're Billy Graham, you might be tempted by the devil. Or Bono, because, you know, he's going to be leading worship in heaven. So, him and David are just going to alternate. So, Jesus, while he was here on earth, had personal attention from the devil. And so the temptations you face, you might feel like they're pretty tough, but that's not like Satan himself. That's like one of the million devils tempting you. But Jesus had the devil in his face tempting him every day, all the time, trying to get him to turn away from the Father. So, I mean, in this pressure cooker that we have, there's every pressure cooker. The reason I come back to this is because they're really handy cooking things. I don't really cook. I microwave and I make toast. So those are my cooking skills. But I make some good toast, I'll tell you what. The pressure cooker, I did a little research because I didn't want to use the title without knowing what I was talking about, you know, a little bit. And so it's weird because it has a release valve to let some pressure out. And if you don't maintain it, it'll explode. It'll blow up. And so when you're just trying to make like rice on Everest, which I guess is what you're like in high altitude, you need something pressurized. If you don't take care of your pressure cooker, it'll explode and they'll never find your body. No, I don't know. It'll explode and you won't get rice. It won't be taken care of. And so in our lives, in all the pressure that we face, we have that release valve. We have that. It's in Christ. And so when you're tempted, the first thing you got to do, we're just going to move right down. How do you move this out? The first thing you got to do is you got to trust Jesus. And that picture is meaningful to me because I don't know any of those people. But I do that with Judah just about every day. And he trusts me like nobody else. It's weird. Like yesterday, we were in our front yard. And we were just coming back from the mall. And Brenda, my mother-in-law, was there, and I can only throw them so high in the house because I have a ceiling. So most of the time I have to sit down now because he's getting tall too, so I got to like sit down to throw him. So anytime I'm outside, it's like, man, you're going as far as I can throw you. And so, in a loving way, I just throw them straight up, and we have this cord that like goes, like from, it's like our cable cord. I swear, he almost hit it. I was like, oh, that might be a little too high. But just throwing him up in the air, and then like he doesn't care. He's like, ah! And he just laughs the whole way because he trusts me. I have never dropped him. My nephew, on the other hand, had some. But my own son, never. But I never dropped him. Because he trusts me, we could do that. If like Jacob came up to Judah and said, Judah, hey, I'm going to throw you up in the air. He probably would freak out. And the minute he left your hands, he'd just be like, ah! And he'd like wiggle. Because he's a wiggler. Like all babies do. But he probably hurt himself because he doesn't necessarily trust you because he doesn't know you. But so the reason I use that illustration in that picture, because that's kid number two, remember, after Judah, is because we gotta trust that, you know, the Bible is true. We have to trust that the promises of Scripture are true today. And so when it says that you have a way out, that's still true. That's still reality. It's not just some old book written to old people who are dead now. That's true. So when you have temptation, trust that Jesus has a way out for you, that you can get out of that situation. The second thing is you got to think. And how many of you guys like to think? Anybody? I love to think. If I could get paid just to think, man, it'd be the best job. It'd be so great, because you just like think, and like, I heard a story about this company. This guy's been interviewing, and he's like a Harvard MBA, which is like a master's in business guy, and he's like hiring, just interviewing for this job, and he walks by an office, and this lady doesn't even have a desk. She sits in like a really comfy chair and a notepad, and she's just sitting there. And the guy's like, well, how do you get that job? He's like, well, that lady came up with an $80 million idea. So we let her just think. And just come up with more. So when you come up with an $80 million idea, you can sit there and think. But like thinking, it's like it's fun. I just like to think. Like, man, what would it be like if this, or what, and dream, and to really plan and think about all this different kind of stuff. And when you think, you kind of take yourself out of the situation, right? Have you guys ever thought out of a situation? And you look around and think, what is really going on? What is really happening? And you start weighing consequences. You start thinking about what will happen tomorrow, what this really means, all that different kind of stuff. And so when you're faced with pressure, you got to think about the consequences. You got to think about what is really in this situation. And often, where we get in trouble is because we don't think. And mainly because we don't think ahead of time. We don't think about how we want to live, how we want our lives to be played out. And so we go like by the seat of our pants from one situation to the next situation, just trying to play it by ear. But in reality, you have to think, how am I going to act in that situation? Like, how am I going to act if someone says, hey, you want to go to a party? How are you going to respond? If somebody says, hey, let's go have sex, how are you going to respond? I don't know if people say that, like, just... I don't know. I'm only talking based on what I've seen on Next. So that still is messed up. Anyway. But you gotta think, like, what are you gonna do in that situation? Are you gonna say, you know what, I wanna live a life of purity and I wanna save myself from marriage? Or are you gonna be like, okay, I don't know what to do. Okay. Because a lot of people come back like 9 months later and say, I don't know how I had a baby. Well, I do. If you don't know, talk to your mom, dad, they'll plan it out. Not plan it out, explain it. Not plan, explain. But they'll, you know, we'll walk through the whole situation. Thank you. But think about how you want to live your life. Because not thinking now is more expensive for your life later. You know, did you actually throw some time? Oh, I didn't feel it. Alright, the third thing, and I'm not a steps guy with three easy ways, but anyway, I'm sorry that this all started with tea. It's just bugged me that I did this, but it just happened this way. Third thing is transform. And there's a Transformers movie coming out, and I'll be honest, I'm a geek more than meets the eye, man. Thank you, Chris. Chris is my nerdy brother. White and nerdy. You've never heard that song?
It's an awesome song.
Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Go, Max. Romans 12. We're talking about transform. The catch line to Transformers growing up was more than meets the eye. Because here's a semi, but really, it's a metal soldier, which is awesome. Greatest premise for a movie ever, I think. But really, in our lives, I mean, are you guys more than meets the eye? Are you exactly what people think you are? Good. I hope you be more than meets the eye, because I want you to have depth to your life. And so, chapter 12, verse 1. Okay. I won't. Jacob Erickson is bad man. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So in this passage, Paul is writing to the Romans and says, you know, you don't have to be like all this other crap that you see in the world. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to go to the temple. You don't have to worship false gods. You don't have to sleep around. You don't have to go to those parties. You don't have to do that. You don't have to conform to the world, but be transformed by the Spirit of God. And that's really the message that the whole thing is like. The Christian walk isn't just like, I said a prayer and I'm good. The Christian walk is a day-by-day transformation to become more and more like Jesus. And when we start living that out, when we start following after Christ and saying, I want you to change my heart and my mind and my desires to be more and more like Jesus, then you start transforming. And you start to be more than just a kid that just goes to school and does a thing. You start to be something more. You start to live with a purpose. You start to live with a passion for lost people. You start to live the way God intended you to live. The more and more you transform to be like Christ. This picture here is coal on one side, and the other side is a diamond. And really, the only difference between the two of these is how they hold up under pressure. Because a diamond is coal. Thank you. Appreciate that. A diamond is a lump of coal that has endured pressure for I don't know how long time. I'm not a geologist, so whatever. But you can take a piece of coal right now and just smash it, and it'll crumble. But you can't do that with a diamond. Diamonds are strong and they endure. They use diamonds to cut other stuff that they can't cut. Like diamonds. Yeah. I mean, like Chuck Norris. The only thing that can make Chuck Norris bleed is Chuck Norris. I mean, that kind of thing. The only thing that can make diamonds is diamonds!
What about lasers?
Or lasers, but lasers don't come out of the earth. Or Chuck Norris. Right.
You can come out of the earth.
Diamonds are strong, diamonds endure, and like they say, diamonds are forever. And remember that, gentlemen.
Not if you
propose to your lady.
Diamonds will
leave. Is it? Be patient.
I love this one. This is like, keep me closer, closer to the side. Diamonds.
Alright, every day, just squeeze on your hand a little bit and see what happens.
This is like diamonds. Take your breath away. Diamonds.
Change your
diamond.
Pretty much
happened. Diamonds. I'll leave her speechless.
Yeah. And
stuff like that.
As long as she likes it. That's but, yeah, he started it. But diamonds endure. Diamonds are strong and they endure and they stood under pressure and lasted. And my hope is that you become more like the diamond than the coal. Like sometimes you face pressure and you just crumble right away because you don't know how to endure. And my hope is that you would endure temptation and get through it and get stronger and stronger and stronger every time. You know, when I first started like going to the gym and stuff, which I'm starting again.
Because
the gym? Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I lost 3 pounds. I used to be really fat. And now I'm just When I first started going to the gym, and I would see people on the treadmill, and they would just be like, I'm like, dude, that's way too hard to run ever. But like inside me, I'm like, man, someday, I'm just waiting for that. Someday I want to endure like those people can endure. And like yesterday I was at Barnes and Borders, and I was looking around, and I like to look at like the health section, just to say I do. And I was looking at people like triathlon training. And the title of all of them was How to Endure. It's like someday I'm gonna run a triathlon. Yeah, that one first. Probably first I'm gonna buy running shoes, buy some swim shorts, and a bike. And that'll be the first triathlon. And then I'll work up from there, just so that I get all this stuff. So, but, you know, set small goals and work your way forward. But you can't just be like, start to say, like, there's a triathlon tomorrow. You can't just go, let's go. You know, you're gonna fall apart. But the more you train, and the more you endure, and the more you put your body through to get stronger, the better you're going to do. And someday, you just might win the triathlon. Never me, but I just love to finish. Participate. But my hope is that you would learn to endure. That you would learn to withstand temptation, and learn to make wise, God-honoring decisions. And that is the whole point of this. And so this month, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to make wise decisions. Because, you guys went to winter camp. You guys remember Tim Wicks, the one rule from winter camp? What was it? No, that was the second rule. No. Don't be an idiot. Remember? That was like the main rule. Don't be an idiot. So let's pray.